I was in the passage of Mark chapter 8, the words of Jesus. If you go to Mark chapter 8, and Jesus says, who do men say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ. So after this passage, of all the things that Jesus could have said, what are the things that Jesus says to his disciples? This is the climax that they finally understood who Jesus is. Maybe they didn't understand all that it meant, but they knew that this was the anointed one. This is the one they've been waiting for ages. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so then Jesus summons the crowd, his disciples, and he says to them, which I believe are the most important words Jesus Christ ever gave to us. I haven't said this in 28 years of ministry, but I believe these are the most important words Jesus gave to us. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now let me just say, I was going to preach the next three verses when I was injured. Pastor Mark went on in Mark chapter 9, so I'm going back now to 4 weeks ago when I was going to preach the next few verses. So we're going back, and then we're going to skip ahead about three Sundays to the present passage where Pastor Mark left us in Mark chapter 9. So look what Jesus says here. If anyone wishes to come after me, I mean, this is not an option. If you want to come after me, you must. Just the way Jesus says, I must be betrayed. I must be given to the hands of the sinners and the scribes. I must be crucified. And on the third day, I will be raised from the dead. You must deny yourself. Now, there's an interesting passage in the book of Galatians which says that the reason God gave us the law was to realize we couldn't keep the law. And if we couldn't keep the law, it would cause us to hold on to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. The law was a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. And I believe that's what Jesus is saying here. We must deny ourselves. Okay, we deny ourselves. We deny ourselves. We deny ourselves. And then finally, we get frustrated. I deny myself, deny myself. You hear that about, that's how Martin Luther, he tried to obey Christ. He tried to obey Christ. He tried to obey Christ in his own flesh, but he couldn't. And many times we tried to deny ourselves and follow Christ. But what the secret is that we deny ourselves and then finally we give up and say, Lord, I can't do it. And then he says, you take up your cross. The cross. The crucified life is what is between denying yourself, in between of denying yourself and following Jesus Christ. And that's where I said is the passage, we talked about this for a 45-minute message 4 or 5 weeks ago, you can get it. But the whole view of the crucified life, I have been crucified to the world, Paul says. I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by grace of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I have been crucified. The crucified life is the secret that brings newness of life. That's what the crucified life does. Sin is washed by the blood of Christ. Newness of life comes by the crucifixion and the cross of Jesus Christ himself. That's all I'm going to mention. And so now we're going to go on to the rest of the passage. Verse 35 to 38. That's what we're looking at this morning. Mark 8, 35 to 38. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. So that's what we're going to look at now. So what are these next verses, verse 35 to 38? You know what I think they are? I think they are an elaboration, a development of this one verse of what it means to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And let me emphasize this again. You notice he says, to deny yourself and take up his cross. Your cross is not my cross. My cross is not my wife's cross. Her cross is not your cross. You have a personalized cross. And if you think about it in that way, not generically, there was a cross that was given to Jesus Christ. His cross was the sins of the world. That's not my cross. I'm not the Christ. I'm not to die for the sins of the world, but I am to be crucified to the sins that God has showed to me that I could be dead to and alive to in newness of life. And if you think in those terms, I encourage you to think in those terms. Specifically, what is my cross? Take up his cross, not the cross, his cross, and follow me. So now let's go back for a minute. Notice that each one of these verses, verse 35, 36, 37, and 38, begins with the word for. You know what the word for is? therefore. Why is the therefore, you could say? And after Jesus says these words, he must deny himself. Let me explain to you what it is to deny yourself. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses life for my sake and the gospel will save it. That's denying yourself. Not my will be done, your will be done. You want to save your life? You'll lose it. You want to lose your life for me? You'll save it. The next thing is the crucified life. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That's why Paul said in Galatians, I've been crucified to the world. The world has no temptation. The world in all of its glory, the world in its pride, the world in its money, the world in its and it's all it has to offer has no effect upon me. This is for the crucified life will show you that what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Read on. For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? The crucified life. What will a man give in exchange of his soul? And then verse 38 is, for whoever is ashamed of me, that's following Christ. Remember, denying yourself is whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, or lose his life. The crucified life, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? And who for whoever is ashamed of me and my words, that's following Jesus Christ. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. This is the actual development and elaboration of these words, which I consider the greatest words of Jesus Christ. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, obedience, following Christ, living for Christ, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory. So now let's go on and look at these verses. Mark 8:35. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses life for my sake and the gospel will save it. Well, let me say that Jesus Christ was very familiar with this thought. Very much. Remember when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, if it is possible, Lord, let this cup pass from me. I wish to save my life. If it is possible, let this cup pass from me. In fact, look at Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, deny myself, but your will. What it meant to deny himself was to take that cup and drink the cup. What would have meant to try to save his life, he would lose it, was to not to have God's will, but I'm going to do what I believe I'm going to do. My will be done. But not my will, your will be done. And notice what happened. You want to know how serious this was? Look at the next verses. An angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. For Jesus to do this, he needed an angel to give him the strength to take up his cross, which was the sins of the world. And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon his corpuscles were busting. And he wasn't sweating sweat. He was sweating blood. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 26? Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? You know what a legion is 1,000. Don't you know that if I ask God right now, I could have at my disposal 12,000 angels? And what would these 12,000 angels do to these few weaklings of humanity and human flesh? I'd smoke all of these Romans. But, how then will the scriptures be fulfilled in where that it must happen this way? It must happen this way. He will crush your head. You will bruise his heel. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So, the truth is that Jesus experienced this. What does it mean to try to save your life, you will lose it, and to lose your life, you will save it? So there's many, many levels of this. Let's look at it again for a moment. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses life for my sake will save it. I'm convinced that many people have been martyred by putting their faith in this verse. I believe today, in the last days, there have been people who have been martyred in China because they believe that try to save my life, I will lose it. You know, they'll say, deny Christ, give up Christ, relent Christ. I cannot. That's the whole belief of the Reformation. Latimer, when he was at the burning of the stake, if you just deny this Christ, we'll let you. How can I? I pray that by God's grace, I will light such a candle that will burn throughout the English Empire. Martyrs gave up their life. In fact, I don't know if you know, but there was a tremendous, terrible martyrdom in Turkey several months ago. Did you read about it on the internet? Three or four people were asked to meet to know more about the Bible. Some Muslims were interested in the Bible. And I don't know all the circumstances right now, it's vague, but I remember getting very detailed email, and three or four people came, they met this morning, and they locked the doors, and they literally for 3 hours tortured them and killed them. They killed, this just happened a few weeks ago, a few months ago. These three people were martyred, and half the attendance of the church in Turkey has dropped. Half the church of Turkey has dropped, they don't come anymore. Hey man, if this is what can happen to me, they're trying to save their life, and Jesus says, you've lost it. So I got an email from someone in Turkey. Listen to these words. Last week, an assassination attempt to kill the pastor of a church here while we were praying and partnering was foiled. There was an assassination attempt on a pastor, Turkish pastor, and it was foiled. The pastor's name is Ahmed, and he has already stated that he is ready to die. He really believes that he may be martyred someday in the future. One of his fellow men said, actually, we are all here because we've already died. Can I repeat that again? Actually, we are all here because we've already died. This man considers himself dead. If I try to save my life, I will lose it. So I can tell you, we don't deal with those issues. But there's people that do. Throughout the history of the church, this was a comfort to thousands upon tens of thousands and millions of people who've been martyred for Jesus Christ. To save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake and the gospel, you will save it. But then there's another level, the level that applies to you and us. You could say, whoever wishes to indulge his life will lose it. And whoever wishes not to indulge his life for my sake, it's a matter of holiness. It's a matter of living for Christ. Look at these words. Do not fear those who kill the body, but after that are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul into hell. And then, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than having both hands and to go into hell, into the unquenchable fire, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. So if you try to indulge yourself and you try to save your life, your self-preservation, he's saying, no. If holiness means that by the Spirit, Romans chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, if by the Spirit you do crucify the deeds of the flesh, you will live. So, if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than having your 2 feet and to be cast into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. You know, this is a sort of an oxymoron. You know what oxymoron is? An opposite. You know, God says, my ways are not your ways. What does it mean? To save my life, I will lose it. To save my life, I've saved it. No. To lose my life, I've lost it. No. Listen to these words. The first shall be last. The last shall be first. Unless you become as little children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. If you have faith as a mustard seed, I need great faith. You don't need great faith. You need faith just as a mustard seed. You can say to this mountain, be cast in the sea. I mean, wow. No wonder Paul said, how unsearchable are his ways. How unfathomable are his ways. And let me say this. The denying of yourself, the crucified life, the following of Christ is not done like this. Oh, I'm happy I can do this, right? With my feet, right? It's done. Listen, it's done. See, I could never preach sitting down, you see? I'll tell you, if I tried to preach sitting down, the devil would be in the front having, wow, that's a funny guy looking up there. You know how it's done? It's done incrementally. Incrementally. By the grace of God, the things I asked God to crucify years ago were done crucified incrementally, little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept. You're not going to be crucified. Jesus was being crucified in his mind throughout his whole ministry. That's why he kept saying, I must be delivered in the hands of sinners. I must be brought before the Gentiles. I must be before the, must be crucified. And then on the, he was being crucified every day to build up to the moment when he was ready to do it and say, not my will. You're not going to be, have victory over a sin in one moment like this. It can happen, yes, but more likely it's going to be moment of God giving me grace. Grace, building a foundation, building substance, building something secure. That by His grace, then I'm assured of the victory of Jesus Christ. Why do we want to save our life? Why do we want to save our life? Why do we want to hold on to something? Very simple. It's called self-preservation. Self-preservation. Again, I told you, we will do anything but be crucified. We will squirm. I told you about my little, my son's dog, Gizmo. And I'll tell you, trying to hold that little dog, which only weighs about 7 pounds, and trying to cut his fingernails, you think the dog weighed 9,000 pounds. That is the strongest dog. And trying to get, oh, that squirming, I can't hardly hold him. Hold him, Dad, hold him, hold him. I can't. You see, we'll do that. We'll do everything. That's why our Christian life gets complicated. We try to live for Christ, but not be crucified. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. We live for Christ by denying ourselves but not be crucified. It doesn't work. We live for Christ, we deny ourselves, and we want to follow Him. It doesn't work. We live our life for Christ, we deny ourselves, we let Him crucify us, and we follow Him. That works. That works. But we won't do it. And He's saying here, Jesus is saying, give it up. Self-preservation. What shall it profit a man if you gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? What shall it profit a man? Now, you know, we sing a wonderful verse. The minute I began to look at this verse, what came to my mind? When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but lost. What would be your richest gain? They always say, who wins the lottery? I've never played the lottery. But, oh, they win $300 million. What would be your richest gain? What would be the greatest thing? A new car, a big million-dollar house. My richest gain I count lost and pour contempt on all my pride. Read on. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast save in the death of Christ. Boast about concerts. Boast about serving Christ. Boast about being a Christian. Boast about... Don't boast about that. Don't boast about what you've done. Boast about what Jesus did for you. You know what matters to Evelyn's heart when she came to her last breath? Nothing what she did for Christ. All that mattered then is what Jesus Christ did for her. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. It's not what you did for Him. It's what He did for you. Save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most. All the vain things that charm me most. I sacrifice them to His blood. Were the whole realm of nature mine, oh my goodness, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. We sing it, and I don't think we believe it. I'm going to go over it in a moment. In fact, I'll go over it right now. Imagine that you owned the gas station at the corner of Ellsworth and Brown Road. You owned that gas station. All the profit of that gas was in your bank account. Wait, you own the gas station at the power of 80th and University. You own the gas station at the corner of Southern and Sossaman. By the way, I'll give you all the gas stations in Mesa. What would you think of that? Let the price go up, brother. I'll give you all the gas stations in Phoenix. You owned all the gas stations in Phoenix, Arizona. You own all the gas stations in Glendale, Peoria. You owned all the gas stations in Arizona. Oh, my goodness. Wait a minute. I'll give you all the gas stations in California. You realize what Jesus is saying here? What shall it profit a man if he gained the whole world? What about all the gas stations in Europe? All the gas stations in Japan? All the gas stations in the whole world. You owned all the gas stations in the whole world. You owned every refinery in Saudi Arabia. You realize what we're talking about here? We haven't even gotten the property. We haven't even gotten the bank accounts. We haven't even gotten the gold. We haven't even gotten the diamonds. We haven't even gotten the clothes. Imagine the whole world. That's what Jesus is saying. What shall it profit a man if you own the whole world? Wow. You'd be happy with a little postage stamp of one gas station. Were the whole realm of nature mine? That were a present far too small. I don't think so. Give me all the gas stations of Arizona. That might be big enough. Give me all the gas stations. That might be a present big enough. Oh, my goodness. Donald Trump, here I come. Love so amazing, so divine. Notice, demands my soul, my life, my all. Hey, I'm preaching to myself. This is what Jesus is talking about. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul? Demands my soul, my life, my all. Look what Paul said here. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. To die is gain. No, to die is lost. It's done. To die is gain. Why? Because Paul says, I'm dead to this world. Whoever things were gained to me, these things I have counted as lost. Rubbish. Whatever things were gained to me, these things I counted as lost. Rubbish. For the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish that I may gain. Notice the word gain. What shall it profit a man if he gain that I may gain Christ? Those things that were gained to me, I count lost. But may it never be that I should boast except in the cross of Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Paul had no interest in gaining anything of the world. For now on, let no one cause any trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus Christ. You know what Paul would show? Let me show you what I suffered for Christ. Look at this whipping here. Look at this mark here. Look at this healing here. Look, he said, you know what they were talking about in the book of Galatians? Circumcision. The Gentiles need to be circumcised. He says, circumcision? You want to add to Jesus Christ? Let me show you my circumcision. Not on my sex organ, if I could say this. Let me show you my circumcision. These are the marks of Jesus Christ. These are the marks of Jesus. Don't talk to me about that. You didn't suffer for Christ, and you're talking about circumcision? Let me tell you about what I did for Christ. I have gained everything in Christ, and I've given up everything for Christ. So, what is the value of a human soul? Let's read on. Look. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? What is it that is so valuable about a human soul? Genesis. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the cattle of the birds. Notice, let us make man in our image. God created man in his image. Nothing else was made that way. Not the stars, they were only there to illuminate, show forth his glory, but not his image. The image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Actually, in Hebrew, a living soul. A living soul. You know, I'm going to tell you very sadly. My wife and I were on a vacation for a week up in New York State, and we went to this place called Chautauqua, and we heard this woman speak called Jane Goodall. You know who Jane Goodall is? She's this famous woman who has spent 50 years looking at monkeys, chimpanzees. The greatest authority of chimpanzees. And she was talking about how, you know, of course, you know, she's an evolutionist, of course. You know, we can learn from the chimpanzees. We're a bunch of, you know, we are animals. We need to see that the chimpanzees, the love they have, the care they have. So she said she spent months and months and months and months and months and months looking at chimpanzees, chimpanzees, chimpanzees. And finally, it happened. It happened. It happened. There was a chimpanzee sitting in front of an anthill. And this chimpanzee picked up a blade of grass and he poked it into the hole of the anthill. There it is! There it is! The chimpanzee is just like humans looking for its food, taking an instrument. I said, forget the chimpanzee. I want to be derived from a beaver. Look what a beaver does. He builds a house. He builds rooms. He builds twigs. He builds it on water. He builds a dam. And a dumb chimp has a blade of grass. I said, Jane Goodall, if you want to be derived from a monkey, you are a monkey. I was derived from Almighty God. Listen, listen, this is what makes the soul so amazing. What is it? It is the soul that makes us in the likeness of God. It is the soul inside of you, inside of each human being, that they have the likeness of God, the reflection of God, the image of God. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Democrats have the image of God. Republicans have the image of God. George Bush has the image of God. Bill Clinton has the image of God. Black people in Africa, people with AIDS have the image of God. You get it? Listen, it's not just white, Anglo-Saxons, American Protestants in Mesa, Arizona that have the image of God. My wife and I were in Rwanda. We went and saw terrible, terrible things. My wife was weeping. She couldn't go into the room of people who had been beheaded and decapitated from the genocide of 800,000 Rwandans were killed in a massacre, in a genocide in 90 days. Divide 90 days by 800,000 people. You know how many are dying every day? One room just had children. They were all covered with lime. Their bodies were preserved. You could see their holes in their head. You could see their arms chopped off. You could see, I mean, it was horrifying. These people had the image of God. People in Africa, people that are black, people that are poor, people that don't agree with you, people with AIDS, homosexuals. Your neighbor, my neighbor, Dan, Hispanics, black people, red and yellow, black and white. What is so important about a human being? They have the soul. They reflect the likeness of God. And that's what Jesus says is what is so invaluable. That's why we go into the whole world. That's why Christians have gone into the whole world to bring the gospel to people who have a soul. That's why we're not evolutionists. That's why we can't believe in evolution. We didn't come from a monkey. When you see a monkey playing the concert piano, then I'm going to believe in evolution. When you see a monkey singing opera, when you see a giraffe playing the violin, then I'm going to believe in evolution. That's why we're pro-life. That's why we're pro-life. That is what Jesus is saying. Inside of you is the likeness of God. And yet you can lose that soul. You can lose it. You can kill that soul. Look what happens. You were dead in your trespass and sin. Sin will kill your soul. Sin is the antithesis of God. God is holy. Sin is breaking holiness. You can poison the soul. You can poison it with false religion. That's what the whole world is full of. False religions, false religions, false religions. Religions of works, works, works. Let me say this very godly, but very, very humbly. You may have read this about Mother Teresa. This has been 10 years since Mother Teresa died. And they showed us hundreds of letters that she has written. And for 50 years of her life, she struggled with the presence of God. She didn't know if she even had the presence of God. She said, I do these things out of duty, but I feel empty inside. I feel dark inside. My friend, I'm not going to judge her. But you know, if Catholicism is a salvation of works, that's the results. Works will always put darkness inside of you. You can't earn your salvation. Grace is what brings light. Unearned grace. Grace abundantly above all my sins. Grace greater than my sins. It's amazing. If Mother Teresa was living this way in such darkness, was she trying to earn her salvation? Earn her salvation. And I saw her grave in Calcutta, which says, through Mary to Jesus Christ. Wow. Why does it say that? You don't go through Mary to Jesus Christ. Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. So you poison your soul. You have darkness in your soul. Then you can starve your soul. You know how you can starve your soul? By not knowing Christ's word. By not praying. You're spiritually hungry. Spiritual food. Let me read to you what J.C. Ryle said here. Listen to these words. Written hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Listen. The whole world cannot make up to a man the loss of his soul. The possession of all the treasures that the world contains could not compensate for eternal ruin. They would not satisfy us and make us happy while we had them. They can only be enjoyed for a few years at best and must be left for someone else. Of all the unprofitable and foolish bargains that man can make, the worst is that is giving up his soul's salvation for the sake of this present world. May we remember this in the hour of temptation, when the soul seems small and unimportant thing, and the world seems so bright and great. Wow. May we remember this in the hour of temptation, when the soul seems so small and unimportant, and the world seems so bright and great. Listen to these words. By faith, Moses, when he'd grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but rather choosing ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Imagine what Moses could have had in Pharaoh's household. Women, wine, and song. Eat, drink, and be merry. He says, no, there's something more here. There's something more here. Considering the reproaches of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of heaven, of Egypt, for he was looking for the reward. 1 John 2, for all that is in the world, the lust of flesh, the lust of the eye, the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. Notice the next verse. The world is passing away and also its lust. But he who does the will of God lives forever. He who does, if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. You lose your life for my sake, you'll save it. What should it profit a man to gain the whole world? Lose his own soul. Time's going. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Let me just show you three verses. Even those who trust in their wealth and boast in the abundance of their riches. This is Psalm 49. No man can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him. The redemption of his soul is costly, and he should cease trying forever. You can't buy your salvation, my friend. You can't earn your salvation. You can't gain your salvation. It is only given as a gift of what Jesus Christ did. That he should live on eternally. That he should undergo decay. He told them a parable. The land of a rich man was very productive. He began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no place to store up my crops? Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store up all the grains and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many good laid up for many years to come. Take your eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. What shall a man give in exchange of his soul? This very night your soul is required of you. And now who will have or own what you have prepared? My friend, you're only renting what you got. You don't own it. You're just renting your house. You may own it, but in 100 years, no one's going to know you ever lived there. Unless you become very famous. And then they decide to make it into a museum or who knows what. So is the man who stores up treasures for himself that is not rich toward God. I got to go on because for this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life. I got to go on because time is gone. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has gladly chosen to give you the kingdom. Then he talks about this other story about the man who was very rich. He was very in fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day, and a poor man named Lazarus was laid up at the gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Beside, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to the angel to Abraham's bosom, which to the Jews is his heaven. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. My friend, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Money is not worth it. Getting your way is not worth it. It's not worth it. Christ is worth it. Christ is worth it. Let us go on then just to verse, I want to hear. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father. What does that mean? The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. We're afraid. Look what Jesus says. Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim from the housetop. Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and the soul into hell. You know, it talks about that God has gone to prepare a place for us. I go and prepare a place for you. Imagine God made the whole world in 6 days. Imagine what he's prepared for you by working on it for 2,000 years. Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor entered into the mind of man what God has prepared for those who love him. Evelyn Hart, if she'd come back this morning, Evelyn Smith, if she'd come back this morning, Cindy's mom, if she came back this morning, she says, you have no idea. It's worth it. It's worth Christ. Christ is worth it. If you only knew. We see through a veil darkly. We see through this flesh. This flesh can inhabit eternity. We couldn't take it. We couldn't take it. One man said, it's better to give 10,000 confessions of Christ and to hear this one confession of Christ. I know you, Herschel Hawk. I know you. I know you. Imagine, I know you, Luan. I know you, Aaron. I know you. Remember what Jesus said? Many on that day will say, Lord, did we not? He says, I don't know who you are. I know you. I know you. I know you, Don. I know you, Stan. I know you, George. I know you, Chuck. My friend, I think these are the greatest words of Jesus Christ. I think these are the greatest words of Jesus Christ. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world? Don't be ashamed of me. Don't try to save your life. Take up your cross. Follow me. I'm worth it, and it's worth it. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you. Thank you for the words of your Son. Your Son's words are spirit and life. Help us to keep focused on him. But help us, Lord. We can't crucify ourselves. Would you crucify the deeds of our flesh by the Holy Spirit, the power of your Spirit, the indwelling of your Spirit, that we may be everything that you want us to be. The image of God lives in us. The reflection of you lives in us, Father. May it shine forth for the glory of Jesus Christ, your great Son, our Savior. Bless your people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit until Jesus comes again, as he surely will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good to have you. Please greet one another in his love. Thank you.